Blog Talk Radio.
Your love unmeasured.
We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us to gather in unity once again around this spectrum, coming together as pilgrims through this barren land. We're asking you to anoint these lips of clay to bring a rhema word, hallelujah, to those that may or may not know of you in the pardon of their sins. I'm asking you, O gracious Heavenly Father, to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep within the epitome of their souls. These and other blessings I ask in thy Son, Jesus' righteous name. And we shall all say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. And so, our sermon tonight entitled is Rich Man, Poor Man. And in this day and era in which we live, we have a society that where everybody seems to want to be rich. Nobody wants to know God. Nobody wants you to talk about God. You can be talking on your telephone to a business person on the other end, and you might just say, well, I'll pay that bill if God bless me to get the money together. And the other party will say, oh, don't go there. You know, they don't want to hear anything about you implementing Jesus in your conversation. Because as far as he's concerned, it's just you and him. And he's excluding God out. But I have you to know that God is the sovereign God. He is the God that owns everything. God owns the highest of the heavens, and he owns the lowest of the low. He owns this earth and everything that's on it. He even owns you and I. We don't even belong to ourselves. But we live in a systematic world that want to be rich. Everybody, you know, now just being a millionaire is just like, you know, an everyday word. Because now the thing is being a billionaire. You know, the billionaire, that's the word, you know. You really got cheese. You really got money. Dinero, if you got that status of a billionaire. So we're going to talk about, like I said, we're going to talk about the rich man, poor man. And so Jesus said, there was a certain rich man. I'm going to turn my volume down a little bit. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen. And he fared sumptuous every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. This man was full of souls, who was laid at the rich man's gate. And the only thing the poor man wanted from the rich man, he was designed to be fed with just the crumbs. Can you imagine somebody saying, you don't have to give me a steak. You don't have to give me a pork chop. You don't have to give me a chicken leg. But just give me the crumbs. That's all I want, just the mediocre crumbs. So that's all the beggar, the poor man was wanting, was the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And moreover, we know that the dogs came and licked his sores. Just imagine. So we know that it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels, though. So I'm going to try to skip this here song that's interrupting me. I hope and pray that the next one be all right. But anyway, so as I was saying, saints of God, and listeners and you that are out there in my podcast land, the beggar was carried away by an angel to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And being in tormented in Hades. Now, Hades, that's the beautiful word to describe hell is Hades. But it's really hell, the bottomless pit, you know, the place of hell, fire, and brimstone. But they calling it Hades. So anyway, the rich man died. And he went to Hades. He was tormented. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Hallelujah. And so he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And would you please send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame, said the rich man. But Abraham said, Son, do you remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus evil things? That was the poor man. But how he is comforted. So see, we know that the rich man was comforted with the angel coming, getting him, and putting him in the bosom of Abraham. And now the rich man is tormented. So you are tormented. And then he said, and besides all of this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. That means there's a division where you can't reach me and I can't reach you. And he said, so those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from here pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. Just go on down there to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he might testify to them, lest they also come to this place, because he didn't want them to come down there where he was, tormented in that hell fire brimstone. So Abraham replied to him, said that, he said, they have Moses and they have the prophets. Let them hear him. And he said, no, Father, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses, honey, and they don't hear the prophets, how you think they're going to hear him? So they know they're not going to hear him, and neither will they be persuaded if one rises from the dead. Now we read that in the law of Luke 16:19-31. All right. Now I find out that some Christians believe that this is a true story, and others might maintain that it is a parable. But regardless of all the Christ parables and the stories, they are meaningful to the listener because they contain events which could actually happen. Now, we find out that this story is a study in contrast. And I want to just kind of break it down between the poverty man, hallelujah, the poverty man and the rich man. So we would call the poor man a poverty man, and then we call the rich man a man of wealth. Now, the distinction between the two men's lives, they live different lives, as you know. Now, I can just vision and see in my mind eyes the beautiful villa in which the rich man lived. You know he lived it up. Hallelujah. It would be perhaps a painted white mansion, perhaps standing up. sitting high up on a hill, surrounded by exotic gardens. You know, they was well maintenance and irrigated system, and it was irrigated by the stream of pools, and then you would be invited to a meal with the rich man. You would probably count yourself a privileged person. Now, servant would greet you, knock at the door, and as you entered the sense of quietude, the coolness would be instantly welcome. You would be ushered to the dining room, and it's highly polished tables covered with the finest food and drinks in the rich man abundance. The dinner hour would quickly pass in sheer delight as you enjoy the surroundings and the company. Eventually, you would move from the table to the ballroom, where you would laugh and dance and make merry until the early hours. And then, wending your way home, your mind would be filled with memories of a wonderful evening that you had encountered. Now, I imagine when the rich man was all alone, when he had his business to see after. And you know, he had probably a library of scrolls and books to enjoy. He had everything for the exception of God. And apparently he was satisfied, although one thing irritated him. And that was of the late beggar that was covered with sores. Can you imagine a person covered with sores that's coming at your gate every day and begging for just the crumbs that fall from your table? Well, this beggar had been lying outside of his gate. So he was a disgusting sight. And like I told you before, the dogs came and licked his wounds. And on the other hand, if the rich man had the slightest ailment, you know he had the finest physicians, came scurrying to tend to him. Since everyone, including the doctor, bypassed the beggar, the poor man was so hungry that he would have welcomed the crumb from the rich man's table. He was so thirsty that he craved the water he just heard flowing in the fountains. He was so raggedy clothed that he dreamed of the fine purple in which the rich man was adorned. Yet the beggar knew God. His very name tells us that Lazarus means "in God I trust." Can you have any doubt that he had come to the moment in his life of conversion and commitment? He had nothing except God, but he was satisfied with the God who was real to him. Now I want to know, which of the two men are you most like compared with so many people? We are rich, and most of them have food, housing out in the West, clothes in abundance, and as far as material well-being is concerned, they're wealthy. But the question gets a little deeper. If Christ, your all in all, I would like to ask you out there in my digital listening audience on tonight, is Christ your all in all? Is he the most important part of your life? If everything except the Lord were to be taken from you, would you be content? These men died different deaths. Birth and death are common experience that unite rich and poor. And the Bible says that it is appointed for man to die, but after death comes the judgment. And we read that in the law of Hebrews 9 and 27. And I can imagine the rich man sitting on his balcony surveying the tranquil scene when suddenly two of his servants come running up the long drive into the rear entrance of the house. They barge into his presence, eagerly wanting to share the news. "Sir, you know the beggar who had laid at your gate, the one you tried to have removed? Say, he's dead." And a smile would creep across the face of the rich man. "Are you sure?" he asked. there was no movement at all. He's definitely dead. Rich man would reply, good. He would reply, go and get some rags and wrap up the body and drag it away and bury it. Just get rid of it. Don't matter what you do. Just get rid of it. So quickly they would obey, taking the body to a desert patch, but they would dig a hole and deposit it into the ground. There would be no markers to commemorate the place. The beggar's body was worthless in both life and death, as far as the rich man was concerned. But we find out that Jesus also told of the rich man's death. He omitted the details, but we may imagine them. Was this wealthy man murdered? Did he die of malaria? A heart failure? We do not know. We do know that death comes in many ways. But the news of this aristocrat death would be spread like wildfire. Have you heard? The rich man had died, and the funeral is tomorrow. Relatives who had shown no interest for years would now be intrigued by the news and make their way to the funeral. The streets would be lined, and people might comment, he was a good man. He gave to the temple authorities and paid for the market square, which is named after him. Nobody would remember how he ignored the poor beggar. Yet it is our attitude to others that is the proof of our attitude to God. Now this rich man eventually loved neither God nor man. A golden hearse would pull slowly by stately horses, carries the coffin containing the rich man's body. He had left all of his worldly goods. He could take nothing with him in the finest of cemeteries. His body is loaded to the ground. Eventually a tombstone is laid over the place with the words, here lies the body of a rich man. Hallelujah. Notice though, it's only the body that lies there. His soul has gone elsewhere. And we know that Paul prayed that spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. We read that in the law of 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We know that each of us is more than a body. That part eventually decay and die. But the spirit and the soul will go on eternally in either heaven or hell. Hallelujah. And these men experience different eternities. For the poor beggar, death was a sweet moment of relief as well as release. One moment his body was in torment, the next he was carried by the angels. No one can go to heaven on his or her own effort, to a place of no suffering, no sin, no sorrow, no separation, no disease, and no death. Oh, how blessed was eternity for this man. He will be with the heavenly hosts who enjoy that God forever. Heaven is a real place, an experience for those who have trusted Christ to take away sin. Hallelujah. How different was eternity for the rich man. His moments of luxury and leisure were very short-lived compared with the fate that awaited him at death. Jesus said, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? We read that in the law of Luke 18:24. The riches of this man were of no use now. Despite all his wealth, he had been poverty stricken. He was utterly lost. Jesus said of him, this rich man has died, and in hell he will lift up his eyes. Hallelujah. Now before anyone is condemned to the torment of Hades, that person will have pushed aside all the obstacles that God has placed in the way. He or she would have to ignore the prayers of friends and families, Christian booklets and posters, the word of God, his or her own conscience, and expression the facts of the crucified, now risen Christ, who lovingly longed that each one should turn to him. In this story, the rich man began to pray at last. He asked for mercy. He prayed that Lazarus, the beggar, would bring him just a drop of water to cool his tongue. Why did he specify Lazarus? I believe the indication was Lazarus is a nobody and of no consequence. Surely you can spare that beggar to help me. Hallelujah. And we will continue part two of the rich man, poor man, on tomorrow evening, if God says the same. In ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to infuse your spirit and impact your mind, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. Until we meet again, I want you to go in God as God go in you. And if this program has been a blessing to you in your walk with God, I would be jubilant to hear from you. You can send all your correspondence to Block Talk Radio in care of the Old Ship of Zion, Senior Pastor Janice Ward, hallelujah. And you can also send your email correspondence to Janice, All About God, at yahoo.com. And until we meet again, I want you to go in God as God goes in you. Bye for now.
Thank you.